So I'm now going to sort of follow through a bit more about my connections with Tibetan Buddhism. Some of you will have heard some of this before, but never mind. So our story then goes forwards to 1978. And in 1978, I'm working away on the London Buddhist Centre. I'm not really cut out to be a builder and labourer, it has to be said, and I'm acutely unhappy, so, as well as very weary, doing all this building work. Although underneath that, I'm very fulfilled. I think it's my first experience of being acutely unhappy, but also really not wanting to be anywhere else, because I really believed that the London Buddhist Centre was going to be a sort of beacon of Dharma and meditation in London for many years to come. Anyway, there was a point where I was working away on this old fire station which had had a fire in it. And I spent about 3 days at one point just working in one of these sort of smoke-blackened rooms. It was like a sort of little retreat in the dark. And I was working away, kind of getting the soot off and clearing it up. And sometime during that time, those 3 days, I had a very strong, let's call it an image, of a red Dakini figure. And she was dancing above the skyscrapers in New York. And it really affected me very deeply. And I wrote a poem called The Red Dakini Appears in New York as a result. And I gave Banti a copy of it. And if you read it, I mean, reading it now, I'm a bit embarrassed about it. It's certainly no great shakes as poetry. But you can feel that there's an awful lot of energy in there somewhere. And Banti took it and sort of ran with it, as it were. He read it in two or three poetry readings that he was doing around that time. Anyway, I just carried on doing the practices that I had been doing. But as the years went by, this figure of Vajrayogini began to take over. It was like she started using her elbows to edge out whatever other figure I was supposed to be meditating on. And I just watched this process happen, and I'm quite sort of, I can fairly say I'm quite steady with meditation. I don't sort of just jump in new directions easily unless I'm sure that there's something really sort of deep and of value there. But eventually, in 1987, I'd moved to Gokuloka to live, and I had lots of time for meditation. And this process was carrying on more and more and more. So Banti came out for the 1987 men's ordination course that I was leading. And at a certain point during the course, I asked him if he had a practice, the sadhana of Vajrayogini, expecting him to say, yes, oh, I've got given one in Kalimpong, and I've got one in a folder, and when I get back to Padmaloka, I'll send it to you. But to my surprise, he said, no, he didn't. He didn't have a sadhana of Vajrayogini, but he'd be quite happy for me to do the practice. And there were places in England where perhaps I could go and, you know, maybe get one on a weekend, but he wasn't sure how much it would be worth, as it were, sort of spiritually. So why didn't I write to Dado Rinpoche and ask him? It hadn't occurred to me to do something like that. But that was what Banti suggested, so that was what I did. I wrote a long letter to Dado Rinpoche saying, hello, you don't know me, but I'm a member of the Western Buddhist Order, and introducing myself and explaining, and then asking him if he could take what I suspected was going to be quite a lot of time and trouble to help me out with this practice. So I waited, as you had to in those days, quite a long time. And eventually I got a letter back from Rinpoche. I don't know what it was about it. I mean, it was this sort of metta just somehow came out of the sort of cheap Indian paper that it was written on. Very, very warm and welcoming, saying that, yes, he'd be delighted to help me. He was very pleased to be in contact with one of Sangharakshita's disciples. But that, unfortunately, because he'd been ill when he was in the Tantric College, he'd never done the retreat which technically allowed him to give the initiation of Vajrayogini. Although, of course, he said, of course, I do the practice every day. Now, personally, I wasn't particularly worried about the technicalities. You know, somebody like Dado Rinpoche had been doing that practice probably every day for the last 40 years or something. That would have been good enough for me. But he was very much, you know, within his Gelug tradition, following that tradition. So he said, well, I can't give you the initiation, but never mind. Here's what we'll do. Here are the names of two other lamas. Go and see one of them. Say that I sent you. Get them to give you the initiation. And then come and see me in India, and I'll explain the practice to you.